to marry her. But he hadn't counted on something. Because her father left her when she was a teenager, she had a lot of unacknowledged anger that she had never dealt with. And he gets married, and now he discovers that she has two freight cars full of baggage. And he doesn't know how to handle it. And pretty soon, the very things that drove him to her, attracted him to her, are the very things now that he just can't stand. She spends too much. She's not focused. She's everything that he doesn't want. She, quote, isn't the woman he married. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Well, I'm here today to give you hope. No matter how disappointed you have been in your marriage, no matter how many disappointments and how unsatisfying and mismatched you are, there is hope. When a Britisher was told that there are many divorces in America because of incompatibility, I'm told that he was shocked. He said, "I thought that incompatibility was the purpose of marriage." I mean, why would anyone want to get married if you were not interested in incompatibility? That's the whole point of marriage, is incompatibility. And God is going to use marriage to work through those incompatibilities to do his work. You stay tuned. But in order for this to happen, I think that there are at least five assumptions that I need to make en route to a fulfilled marriage. Five assumptions, and listen to these very carefully. First of all, it does take two of you. It does take two of you. You can't work on a marriage too well alone. You can respond in a godly way, but you can't really work on a marriage alone. Some of you say, well, you know, that ends it there right now. He's not interested in counseling. She can't change. So, you know, we're out of here. We're checking out of this sermon right now. My dear friend, you understand why that attitude exists, don't you? The man marries a woman who is judgmental. She's judging everything. She's a perfectionist. He can never please her. And so he just shuts down. He just shuts down because of her judgmentalism. There was a man who was on a plane, a Christian man sitting next to a non-Christian, and the Christian wanted to witness to him and said, are you ready for Judgment Day? And the man said, what is it? When is it? And he said, well, it could be very soon or it could be much later. And the guy said, well, when you find out those dates, you let me know, because I'm sure that my wife wants to attend both times. He's not going to open up. If he confesses to you a struggle with pornography and you freak out over it, he's not going to open up. He's going to clam up and become what one woman said about her husband, the great stone face. There are some marriages in which there is so much contempt and so much hostility that when he says blue, she says green. When he says red, she says brown. You can predict it. My dear friend, you are never going to have a fulfilled marriage, the both of you, unless both of you decide right now we are no longer going to be adversaries. We are going to become allies. We're going to be on the same page, and we're going to start to work this out. It does take two of you. Second assumption is that you have to go through pain to get there. You have to go through pain to get there. There may be some exceptions, but almost always you have to go through pain. You know what marriage is? Marriage is looking into a full-length mirror that shows you your sin. That's what marriage does. It takes two sinful, selfish people, puts them together in intimacy, and says, get along. And it's not easy. Because of my Canadian background, I love to drink tea. As a matter of fact, I didn't have coffee this morning. I had a cup of tea at home and also a cup of tea here at the church. There's a woman here, by the way, who loves to bring me boxes of tea. That's her ministry, and I thank God for that because I've always got lots of tea. Well, you know, when I looked at those tea bags this morning, you know, little white fluffy bags with a little string, you really don't know exactly what's in them until you put them in hot water. And when you put them in hot water, you discover the kind of tea that it is, and you've got all this brown stuff swirling around, and There's nothing, by the way, now in the water that wasn't in the tea bag at the beginning, is there? Now here's the thing. That little tea bag, that sweet little package, that represents the single life. And nobody really knows what's inside because you've never had an opportunity to demonstrate what is inside. The moment you say, I do, you're in hot water, all right? You're in hot water. And suddenly everything begins to come out. She makes me so mad, the man says. Now, wait a moment, where's all that anger coming from? There's nothing that she can draw out of you that isn't already there. You know, the dirty water? That was in that sweet little tea bag that you fooled her with before you were married. But it's all there. You can't get there from here to there without facing yourself and facing pain. Which leads to a third assumption. We need to have a different perspective on marriage. Gary Thomas says in his book that the real purpose of marriage isn't happiness. You thought that you were going to be happy? Well, you know, the real purpose from God's standpoint isn't happiness, it is holiness. And then he quotes someone as saying this, marriage is the merciless revealer. The great white searchlight turned on in the darkest places of human nature. And it is there in the searchlight that our sin is revealed so that God can work on it. And he's got a lot to work on, doesn't he? So easy for us to see other people's sin. It's somebody else's sin. I heard a priest saying, you know, in the Catholic tradition, they have confession. And the priest said, you know, a woman came to me and she started to just say all the things about what her husband did to her and so forth. And he stopped her and says, whose sins are you here to confess? So what God is going to do is to work on us. And my dear friend today, I hope that you let him. This is Pastor Luther. Indeed, it is true that God loves to work on us. The problem is our resistance. Now, perhaps I'm talking to a wife and you say, my husband is resisting. Can you trust God for him? Don't you try to change him, because I promise you it probably will not work. Who can change your wife, dear husband? God can. What I like to emphasize is that we have responsibility for our own hearts, for our own responses, and we have to trust God for our mates. But God is the one who is able to put things together. And he doesn't do it apart from deep repentance, faith, oftentimes the confession of sin, reconciliation, all those things which are exceedingly painful and exceedingly rewarding. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you next time.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Goal is Holiness, Not Happiness. Another message on Till Death Do Us Part. Next time, more on the searchlight of marriage and how it reveals our character flaws. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.